hell of a Monday. We opened up, obviously, talking about and sending our thoughts and prayers to everyone in Las Vegas, or, you know, even people out here affected by what went on in Las Vegas. Just another senseless moment in this country's history, man. And you know, I mentioned to Jason how I feel like there's this kind of level of calmness that overcomes all of us in moments like this. And if we could just find some way to bottle this up and take it with us everywhere we go, because you go on social media today and, you know, the tone of posts and replies and the tone of Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff, it's a whole lot different than it was on Sunday afternoon. And it's fantastic that every once in a while we show we can come together. It's just frustrating that it takes incidents like what happened in Las Vegas last night to get us to this point.
Yeah, and obviously there'll be broad discussions about what happened, you know, from the legislative side, you would think, at some point. But it's also just the reality of where we are and what can happen and the vulnerability we all have when you just go anywhere at any time, any of these kind of things. It's just, you know, there's so many times you would have never, ever, ever worried about anything like that. And sadly, that's our world. And I'm always looking for the why. Like, why does this happen? How do we fix it? Can we just be better as people in general? Like, each person, just being a little bit better. Yeah. To one another, to for each other, all the way around. That just, to me, feels like we'll go a long way.
And then, you know, from there, we learned that Tom Petty was rushed to the hospital after falling into cardiac arrest. Once he got there, there was no brain activity. They took him off life support. CBS had reported earlier that he had passed away. TMZ is stating right now that he has not yet passed away. He's not expected to live through the day. We've actually had a number of stories come to us that we haven't brought you on the air yet, but that's the dangers of social media, as we're trying to follow these reports. And again, it was CBS that reported he had passed away. He's off life support. He's going to. It's inevitable, unless there is some sort of miracle, and, you know, that would be fantastic. But I would be very stunned if that happened. They've kind of gone through all the procedures that you would if someone dies. So I would just expect that to be official. So we've put our Tom Petty music on for the day. And, you know, I've acknowledged that's outside my wheelhouse, not something I'm super into. We know our good friend Sam Amick, who went to a Tom Petty concert on the road before calling us one day, is a big fan. And we know a lot of people listening, especially based here off this text line, are huge, huge fans of his as well. And, of course, he was here at the Golden One Center just 1 month ago. Tonight at the Golden One Center is your Sacramento Kings opening up with a preseason game against the San Antonio Spurs. Regular season basketball is just about 2 weeks away. We'll get our first real look at the Sacramento Kings tonight.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a couple things in the preseason that are always exciting to me when you have new people in a new place. And one of those things actually comes to fruition tonight is playing the Spurs. I don't really ever care about the opponent, but Rudy Gay is a member of the San Antonio Spurs. I don't think he's going to play tonight. Still not all the way there. Or I think he's been practicing with them, which is encouraging for him and for them. I don't think he's going to go tonight. And also the injury to Kawhi Leonard, who's going to be out for the entirety of the preseason. He's a guy you would always enjoy seeing of an opponent. But leaving the Spurs part aside, to me tonight, Damian, is all about just how does everybody look? How does Randolph look as a King? How does our first look at Giles and Fox and Jack, you know, anybody? All just new faces, new roles. And again, not all determinations will be made. We joked about that earlier on tonight, but it's our first look. I don't think they have very much of a camp. I mean, there's a little bit of disadvantage Sacramento has with so many new people and young players compared to the Spurs. It's the same roster. I mean, they could show up and they know what their system is. And again, it's not really about winning or losing tonight, but it's just...
I
did say it was a must-win earlier. I'm backing off that a little. But I just want to see how they look and see what it...
Are you sure it's not a must-win tonight? I mean,
I'm not certain of that.
Sure feels like a sense of urgency around this team right now.
Should be.
I mean, you can't. How many preseason games are there?
Only six. Got to get them all. Got to set a tone.
You can't go 88-0
right
without going 1-0.
Yeah.
That's a fortune cookie I once got. It's a lie. It wasn't.
Yeah. I've tempered it. I only have them at 85-3.
Really? Okay, Mr. Pessimistic fan. What a jerk. That's at Jason Ross 1140 if you want to add him, bro. At Jason Ross 1140.
But all the losses are in the preseason.
Aha! Yeah. Aha! Well played there, yeah. J. Ross. As you see, we're just trying to light the mood up and have some fun here on this Monday. What we got right, what we got wrong, we'll get into that. Some overreactions from week four of the NFL season. We'll talk about some of the teams that are 3-1. There's a number of them. There's a couple of ones that really, really stand out, and Jason and I, with all of the ugly things in the world and the ugly things, particularly in sports, we've decided we're going to start ending shows on a happy note.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one. We've got some that we want to share with you before we get out of here today. What we got right, what we got wrong. I really feel like we should just change this to "you guys are idiots" and just call it that, because I can't think of much that I got right, but I know – at least four games into the season, I guess, I'm having a hard time admitting this one. I think I was wrong about the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
I don't, they're 3-1, but it's like the Panthers are 3-1 question mark. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if you're having a conversation with, you know, with fans, with people who love football, people who like football, people who casually watch football, is anyone going, "Hey, man, those Panthers are 3-1.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it'd be, wait a minute, they are? Because I know when they beat the Patriots last night. And they were all butthurt that people weren't picking them to beat the Patriots. It's the Patriots, bro.
Right.
Of course no one was picking you. Calm down. And you're looking at them like, oh, wait a minute. That was their third win? Really?
Yeah. But see, I get the feeling if we do it in like basketball, we do this in 5-game chunks, 10-game chunks. If we do that in the NFL at 4-game chunks, 3-1 is great.
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling you don't think their next 4-game chunk they're going to be 3-1.
I don't.
Okay.
But this is a week-to-week game that we play. I wouldn't have had them at 3-1.
I'm with you.
I think they lost their first game, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe they lost their second game.
That'd be the Niners to start, yeah.
They lost their second game of the season. And it was kind of like, okay, they beat the 49ers, whatever. Fine. Second week comes around, okay, that's the team I expect. And then they win a game like 9-3 or something absurd like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Cam hasn't looked good, and there have been questions about, can Cam – he's coming off a shoulder surgery also. Can he throw? Like, is he not fully rehabbed? Like, where are we with Cam? But they beat the Patriots, and sometimes a Patriots win – regardless of the time of the season that it happens, like, counts as two or three wins because it's looked at differently.
Yeah.
Wins against the Patriots are looked at entirely differently than wins against other teams are. And I was wrong about them.
I've got plenty on my list here. The Jets.
I got you tanking right here.
Exactly. 4 games in, 2-2. All this team needed to do was play at home. Won both games at home. Jacksonville, shame on you yesterday, too. They're going to kick themselves for that loss.
Oh.
But
your Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, I'll claim them still.
All right.
Yeah, sadly.
All right.
But the Jets were ready to be the worst team, maybe intentionally the worst team. Nobody knew what they were going to do offensively. They've been throwing in all these different people, and it's worked enough. They looked awful week two against the Raiders. But since they beat a bad Dolphins team, beat Jacksonville yesterday, 2-2, 500, tied with the Patriots in that division. I just thought the Jets would be awful on every element. Maybe a decent defense, maybe. But the defense since that Raider game has been pretty good.
No one saw them being at 500 at any point in the season except when they were 0-0.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's 500. I think that's 0. But I think that was the last time. That was the closest to 500.
Yeah, no more losses than wins. Yeah.
That was never going to happen. And now they're too. So, yeah, I'll own up to that one as well. Are they stumbling across something? Like, what?
The Jets?
They don't have a quarterback.
No,
legitimately.
They're just stumbling, but winning.
Even four games into the season, that's pretty crazy. You stumble across wins throughout an NFL season. If you had told me, I didn't think the Jets were going 0-16. I don't think the Browns are going 0-16. I think it's harder to go, or if not harder, equally as hard to go 0-16 than it is 16-0. You can stumble. If you told me the Jets will finish with two wins, like, yeah, I believe that. They're going to stumble across a couple of wins. Yeah. Bad teams do that. You told me they got two wins four games into the year? No, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Dead wrong. But not so much. I was right about the Rams. I want to own that one. I want to keep that one. I want the Rams to keep it up because I don't have an interest in that division. I don't like the Cardinals. The 49ers, we expect them to be a disaster, and I believe that the class of the division is still the Seahawks, and I like that the Rams are in the conversation. I like that they got a young coach who, you know, to quote The Rock circa 1997, knows his role, and he coaches the offense. He lets the son of a bum do his thing, and he stays out of the way, and Wade Phillips coaches a pretty fantastic defense. And it's worth noting is, you know, we had Eric on earlier. We were talking about the Cowboys, the discrepancy in the way that they called plays in the first half and the second half. A lot of that has to do with Wade Phillips and the adjustments that Wade Phillips made with his defense. They crowded the line of scrimmage and forced, at least I'm going to assume that this was the change in mindset for Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett, is they forced them to throw more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was just and Wade Phillips is probably thinking, oh, I've seen this before. I know how this works. Watch this. We'll make Dak throw the ball all the time because Jason Garrett is convinced that Dak Prescott is Tony Romo and he can drop back and throw the ball 50 times and be okay. Well, he's not. He's similar to Tony Romo in the sense that he's got to move around. And the more that he moves around, and we saw this last week, I praise Dak Prescott as that was one of the first games I've seen him as a pro where they won because of him. Mm-hmm. And they won because of his ability to move. They lost yesterday because they restricted his ability to move. And all credit, I think, should go to, or a lot of the credit should go to the Los Angeles Rams for that and what Wade Phillips and Sean McVay have been able to. Sean McVay appears to, at least four games into his coaching career, have no ego. And he understands, this guy knows how to coach defense. I know what I'm doing on this side of the ball. I'm going to stay over here. When the defense has the ball, I'm going to go sit down. I'm going to take my little tablet here and my little pictures, and I'm going to go over all this stuff, and we're going to figure out how to get better offensively on the next possession.
Yeah.
That might have been the only thing I was right about was the Rams the entire weekend, but I'm going to hold on to the Rams, I think, for the rest of the year.
All right, one I'm going to hang on to, based on yesterday, based on the first couple of weeks, I didn't like the move to bring in Jay Cutler. I thought they should stick
with... But he knows the offense, Jay. He knows the system, Jason.
Then he's doing it wrong.
Oh.
Because something is up with him. And another uninspired, lethargic, no numbers from that offense. And it was in London. It was early yesterday. It was still bad. Against the Saints. This is not a juggernaut offense, a defense.
If they had gone to Cutler at halftime and said, hey, look, you just want to go to the booth and call the game. Do you think he would have taken them up on it and been
he
like,
should
yeah,
have.
I'll go do that. That sounds like a whole lot more fun than what I'm doing now.
It just, the move, I guess I understood it in a sense that they felt they needed a name there when they had the injury to Tannehill. But Moore did a good job last year, and I feel like they could go right back to him. Mm-hmm. That might be popular amongst the team. Adam Gase has talked about some moves down the line. That's the one move they probably should look at. And I feel like that was maybe one a few weeks ago that I got right.
The Saints, by the way, are quietly 2-2.
Mm-hmm. That division is really good. There's no easy games.
Are we sure that the Saints are good, though?
Well, again, that's not a team.
I'm just noticing they're 2-2. That's all I'm just noticed. Like, okay, there they are.
Yeah,
they've got two in a row, two wins in a row.
I mean, it's if we look at their resume again, like we do, a loss to New England. Okay, it's a pretty good team. And a loss to the Vikings on that Monday night where Minnesota had Sam Bradford and played great. But they've won at Carolina, who, if we were talking about them as a 3-1 team, mm-hmm. that's who the Saints, I mean, they won there. and then to win in London. So that's a thing they don't do is win on the road, but now they've won a couple.
How about Ken Rudolph's Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Nick Folk, in his 11th year, will attempt to win this ball game for the home team. The spot will be just inside the 25, at call it a 35-yard field goal attempt. Movement across the line. Here's the kick. Airborne. Plenty of leg. Plenty of leg. It is good! And the Bucs have beaten the New York Giants.
Failed to mention it grazes the post and makes its way.
After all the misses.
The upright. Oh.
Yeah, by Folk.
I could not believe the Bucs were playing for the field goal.
Yeah, they were a little too comfortable with that, especially the distance and there's two straight kind of centering plays by Jameis. I thought, ooh.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Nick Folk was once a very, very, very good kicker.
Yeah.
Then he had hip surgery, and that all kind of changed for him.
And he had the yips yesterday. I wouldn't have trusted him.
Man.
And he just squeezed that one in.
And they just played for it.
Yeah.
I had the text ready to send to your boy. Because I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
And this all leads to where I was wrong, as Charles asked me on Friday, you don't think that you got it. You're picking the Bucs to win this. I was like, no, I can't. The Giants, they're not going 0-4. They're not an 0-4 team. You mentioned this earlier. Chargers, no. Browns, okay. 49ers, okay. Giants, Chargers, no. Those aren't 0-4 teams, yet here we are, quarter way through the season, and both of them are 0-4. The Giants offense, so this isn't an anomaly anymore, right? Like, we're not, this isn't a slump, this isn't a stretch. Their offense is just flat out bad. It's 2 years ago we were talking about, we were having this very same conversation about the New York Giants defense. So last year they spend 200 some odd million dollars in football money to retool that defense, and they're significantly better. And now here we are offensively again with one of the best offensive weapons in the entire NFL in Odell Beckham. And Eli's still there. He's not a terrible quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. And they can't get a run game going. Their offense is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just flat out bad. And I was wrong. I just didn't envision them being a team that they were 11-5 last year. 11-5. And they're 0-4 to start the season now. My bad.
Yeah.
We told you if you ever place bets on what we say, bet the opposite, you'll probably be in pretty damn good shape by the time the weekend is over. I just didn't see them as an 0-4 team. Not even close.
My next one on my list is the Raiders. Not necessarily the record. It's the offense. I'm just surprised that a good defense has shut them down 2 weeks in a row that dramatically. And I was telling you from the beginning, this team's going to score on a minimum 24 a week. They're not going to have problems scoring. They're so creative. Play calling. Too many weapons. They'll give up some points. They're going to be in some shootouts, and it just hasn't gone that way the last couple of weeks. And I don't know why the offensive line, I mean, if we kind of start at the basic part of it, why the line is giving up so many explosive plays, tackles for losses, getting in the backfield, disrupting Carr, sacking Carr, bottling up a Lynch, you know, all these different things they're doing.
Which didn't happen last year.
Not at all. Not consistently like this. And then, okay, good corners are going to bother Crabtree and Cooper, and that's happened a little bit, but it's just the collective nature of the offense that's not flourishing the last 2 weeks has really, really surprised me, just to this level. I mean, there's off days, but it hasn't looked like off days. It's looked like they've been dominated, and that's really frustrating for them.
This may be one of my favorite texts of all time. Damian, you were so wrong that you were wrong on being wrong about the Ravens. That makes me happy because
that's good listening.
Indeed it is. And that is fantastic. I wonder how many times he or she read that text back.
Do I have this right?
To make sure the number of wrongs was accurate because he was right. And yes, the more the Ravens lose, the happier I'll be.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me happy. As I said before, an angel gets their wings every time the Ravens lose. And the fact that they got their butt kicked by Pittsburgh makes me happy. Joe Flacco continues to be bad. Makes me, well, I guess he wasn't. Kind of terrible-ish. By the way, Ben Roethlisberger, very pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
And Antonio Brown, tell your boy to relax.
Yeah, why is he going nuts?
What is wrong with him?
I don't know.
Guys, you won big. You know, wide receivers want the ball. I get
it.
Yes,
they do.
But your running back, as you're well aware of,
mm-hmm.
he was all right
He's
yesterday.
Nice. Yeah. I liked him yesterday.
You said that in the most creepy way imaginable. Let's be clear. Jason Ross, the fantasy football guru, the messiah, has Le'Veon Bell on his team.
Yes.
He took first
pick.
First instead of taking who?
David Johnson.
Who you left for who to take?
That was out there for you.
Yep, thanks.
Yeah, but you also swooped in and took Zeke in front of me on the turn, on the way back.
Yeah.
You knew. You called some lawyers. You knew he was going to be okay?
I just knew you were going to take him because that's what you do. Character does not matter.
Oh, no, not at all.
Character.
Not in this. I actually kind of thrive on those guys that have a little bit of an edge to
you
them.
You are the Dallas Dallas Cowboys of fantasy football. You draft suspended players. Character means nothing to you when it comes to fantasy football. You take guys on the suspended list.
More suspensions, the better.
You had four guys on the freaking suspension list. You would get a call if we had a commissioner with some integrity last year. You would have gotten a call.
Yeah.
You would have, hey, man, that's too many.
I know the rules of the league. Doug Martin's coming back this week.
Wait a minute. Where has he been?
Suspended.
I thought he was suspended one game. He was suspended four? Oh, three.
And they had
the, that's right. Yeah. They had the. Three is so arbitrary.
It
Why
is.
Was he suspended three games? Who gets suspended three games?
Doug Martin.
Why wasn't it four?
Did he appeal it? I think it might have been four and he appealed it. You know, they're so tough.
So by appeal alone, you get a game taken off.
I think so.
By the way, there's something going on with Zeke today. He's at court.
Right. The next level of.
This is whatever.
Trying to see if they can speed that up.
I guess. Text line here. Raiders offensive line sucks this year. Why? I don't know. Not playing well, no holes for Lynch. Defense is horrible. Ken Norton's firing is long overdue. Yeah, we're back on that. We said that was a conversation last year, I think, about the same number of games into the season is how long is Ken Norton going to survive.
So that's why they're 2-2, is Ken Norton?
I don't think so. Yeah. Ken Norton doesn't have anything. Look, I'm not arguing any of the points the text made because you actually just made a lot of these same points, Jason. Ken Norton isn't the reason that offensive line is bad, and I think the issues that are facing the Oakland Raiders have a lot more to do with that offensive line, which is where they should excel, than it has to do with that defense.
Yep.
Overreaction, Deshaun Watson is a franchise quarterback.
No.
3.5, not an overreaction. Overreaction, Deshaun Watson is a superstar in the NFL.
Yeah, overreaction, right now at this point. Right, I mean, we're coming after
quarter of the way of the year.
Game.
I think he is. I mean, if I asked you to judge right now,
he's trending towards, but I can't do it.
Sure, felt like it was a superstar performance.
Yeah, absolutely incredible, rocket arm. You know, he's got the poise, the experience. He's been in the big games. I don't know. Just want to see more.
All he does is win, and we don't give him love.
Yeah,
the Seahawks are back. Just scoring 40 plus last night. We knew it was coming. Back.
Where'd they go?
Super Bowl sucker. They weren't good for the first three games. I mean, I don't know how good they were yesterday. Those final.
That's 18-18 in the third quarter.
Dude, those points came out of freaking nowhere. But the defense they didn't score. The Colts, they didn't score again. So that's.
I'm going to say no.
They're not back.
No.
Okay.
What are they great at? Like we said defensively before, are they great defensively?
Great, Jason.
Yeah.
Great.
We're judging greatness.
It's
above average.
Guys
they're better
are still
than most
there.
Teams.
Cliff Averill went down with an injury last night. But so can I reserve judgment until I know Cliff Averill is going to play on a week-to-week basis or not? Because I think, you know, him not being there could change the tone. I feel like that defense is the type that you just need one.
Yeah.
One game, light the spark. I feel maybe the offense could be the same way.
Yeah, well, that's been the case in the past.
And that may have been Monday.
Yeah.
How about we push?
Okay.
Got a couple of more overreactions. We'll save some of them. They involve Cam Newton. Jadeveon Clowney, what did he have to say at the postgame press conference? We got all that for you. Plus, there are three teams. There's a lot of teams that are 3-1, but there are three that are really surprising. Which is the most surprising? We'll touch on that next here on The Lowdown.
Did you watch any NBA preseason games?
I did not. Not yet.
Watched a little bit of the, I think it was the Warriors and Nuggets. Uh-huh. Yeah, I watched a little bit of that.
They're in trouble. They lost.
They did. Yeah. I mean, it's.
That's crumbling.
That would make the Nuggets the reigning defending NBA.
That's the way it works in wrestling, right?
Yeah. I mean, if.
Beat the champ. You're the
linear
champ.
Champions, yeah. Right? I feel like that's how it should work. Yeah. I don't think that's asinine thinking at all.
Not at all.
Nope. Definitely not.
Got to take on Denver next.
That's all you got to do. But who, Jason, is the number one contender? That's. The true question. It's not the next person on the schedule. It's who's the number one contender.
It's true.
It's damn true. Spurs and Kings tonight at the Golden One Center. The only place you can catch that game is here on Sports 1140. And, of course, we'll have a full recap of that game for you tomorrow, as well as the Monday Night Football game with Washington and Kansas City. That should be a real fun one. As well. A couple more overreactions. Mention the Seahawks. Are they back? What about Cam Newton? Is Cam Newton back? MVP status. Are we talking back to that top level of quarterback, Jason?
Nope.
That's an overreaction?
Yeah, he's not that guy yet. Nope. Hasn't been. I don't think he's been strong really this season. Good win yesterday. Great win. Record's good.
22 of 29, 316 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, a rating of 130.8.
Yeah, his best one so far. But no, he is not. The totality of the 4 games, there were still questions going into yesterday. What's wrong with Cam? I just think he's getting healthier and getting better. But no, he's not all the way there yet.
How about this for an overreaction then? Because instead of asking for Cam, maybe we should ask, what the hell is wrong with New England's defense?
That's it.
That's supposed to be their specialty, right? That's Bill Belichick. Belichick is a defensive guy. What is going on over there? They got the worst scoring defense in the entire league. We're not used to seeing those types of flaws from them.
And maybe we should have known that was going on from game one, right? That Thursday night game against Kansas City. What are the Chiefs doing scoring 40 points at Foxborough?
And not just 40, but Alex
Smith.
Big
plays, yeah.
The Alex Smith, the game manager. Alex Smith unloading for what, a couple of 75-yard plays?
Last week, Deshaun Watson looked great against him. It was a loss, but Tom Brady stole that game. I thought he was going to steal yesterday's, too. Yeah, they have been giving up points, a bunch of points, each and every week, and they have got to solve that. I already saw someone suggest right up today that they move Garoppolo for some more defensive players. I don't know if they'll do that, but they have issues defensively.
That's
for sure.
That's not Bill's MO.
No.
He'd move Brady to get some defensive properties and bring Jimmy Garoppolo in.
He probably would.
It sounds absurd. That is the way he works.
Yeah.
He's done it with every other position that he's ever had a marquee player at, except for that one.
Mm-hmm. Hot take right there. What if he did that one?
I didn't say he would.
Right.
Well, actually, that's exactly what I said.
But that's the way he would do it. I just don't think that would
happen. That's the way he operates. Yeah. Deshaun Kizer was taken in the second round. Can you be a second round bust?
I don't know.
Can you only be a bust if you're in the first round?
Wouldn't that be great if Cleveland's looking to do another quarterback again? They just got to settle on. I wasn't a huge fan of Kizer coming in, but yeah. Better get that position right soon.
3 touchdowns, 8 interceptions on the year.
That's usually what happens with rookies, not what Watson did.
Which is why Deshaun Watson is a freaking superstar. Mm. I don't know a lot about Mitchell Trubisky, who, by the way, that's a story we haven't talked a lot about. We did mention it. He's going to start for the Chicago Bears. Mike Glennon is out.
Yeah.
$16 million out. Mitchell Trubisky is in. I wasn't glued to North Carolina. Notre Dame is kind of forced in your face.
Yeah.
And so is Brian Kelly. I didn't think Deshaun Kizer was good in college. So I chuckled when I saw Cleveland take him. This can't be surprising. Can it?
No, his struggles?
He's not good.
No.
I'm sorry. He wasn't good. Why all of a sudden is he supposed to be good now? He wasn't good at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and they had all those other quarterbacks there, too, that they've been looking at and trying to figure out and going forward with him. And I think Hugh Jackson's a creative offensive mind, but he's not getting wins. He's not getting production. And then you see the success of a guy like Deshaun Watson, and it's got to be ultimately frustrating for the Browns. And Trubisky, what about that start for him? He's going to take on Minnesota's defense in his first game.
Yep. I think Baltimore's after that.
Good luck with that first one, though.
I think it's the Vikings, Panthers, and the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken, are his first three games.
Okay. Well, the first two are tough defenses. Well, Baltimore's defense is the best part of their team.
Here, is this an overreaction? This is straight from the text line. This is a message to you and I, big Bills fan representing the West Coast Stampede. The 3-1 start only exposes what a fraud Rex Ryan was as a coach. Remember, no one circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills. I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but that was a boomer saying that he said.
Yeah, could someone explain what no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills mean? I don't know what that means. I never did. Hop on the wagon. We got room for you. Too cocky too soon? Is that an overreaction right there from our Bills fan Tex Nation right there?
Maybe a little
They're leading the AFC East. You might as well. Hey. You might only be leading the AFC East for a week. I'm not mad at him. Hold on to it.
Yeah.
Even if it is an overreaction, run with it. I love it. But could someone please tell us what always no one circles the wagons? Jadeveon Clowney walked up to his post-game press conference saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Houston Texans have arrived." Overreaction? On Mr. Clowney's part?
Well, a different version of the Houston Texans have arrived. The defense has always been their strong point. We've always said, hey, if this team could get a quarterback and get consistent quarterback play, maybe they would actually be a threat when they get to the postseason. If Deshaun Watson plays like he has the last 2 weeks, yeah. Offensively, they're different. It's a game-changing offense from what they've been, and then certainly a good defense.
I love Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
Texans are 2-2.
Yeah.
Technically, they're not even leading the division.
Right.
Where exactly have you arrived? Where have you been?
Yeah.
I don't know who I want to be fired more. And I'm sorry. that this is horrible because I don't advocate for people losing. Well, not. I don't always advocate for people losing their job. I don't know who I would prefer to see as a television analyst and off of the sidelines more. Bill O'Brien for the stupid way that he's handled Deshaun Watson. Or Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly is one of the most overrated coach in college football.
And he's still sticking around, and they've made changes quicker there for guys that maybe were more successful, which is strange.
Notre Dame is the most overrated program on earth. There is no school holding on to past glory the way that Notre Dame does.
Yeah, and they've become the team that, oh, they're on? Okay. Like, you almost had to watch before. I know they're on. We're going to see them. But I'm not that interested in their games right now.
No, I haven't been.
And I don't think they're terrible. They're just not great. It's just like, yeah, whatever. They're just another team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're on every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a fan. Talk about overreaction Monday. Deshaun Watson is a superstar. Yeah, this is the point. It's what an overreaction is. I'm not so sure that he's not, though. I'm buying in. I'm buying in a quarter of the way through the season. I'm totally buying in. The Bills, who we just mentioned there, read that text. They're 3-1. The Rams are 3-1. And the Panthers are 3-1. I don't know that we saw any of those coming to start the season. Which one are you surprised the most by?
I think Buffalo for me. They coaching change, just the division, even though they have, you know, the division actually now at this point doesn't look to be as strong because of New England's down so far, and then the Jets and the Dolphins aren't much, but they haven't really to beat Denver the way they did a week ago. I thought that was nice. They've got some quality wins. Buffalo, I think, would be my answer on that one.
Sadly, my uncreative response would be mine is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, I wanted to. There was enough curiosity, I think, surrounding the Rams with Sean McVay, Jared Goff, Aaron Donald, the defense, Wade Phillips, and the bad division, quite frankly. There was enough there where you thought, okay, interested. Carolina, we've seen it before. I'm surprised. Like, I'm saying most surprised by. I'm surprised by Carolina. I thought they were done. Maybe they still are. But they're 3-1, so I'm not going to write them off. Buffalo. I couldn't even guess. They won that game yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons with Tyrod Taylor throwing 182 yards. LeSean McCoy, I don't know what made me so sour on LeSean McCoy. I don't know if it was running backs playing in the cold there in Buffalo. I don't know if it was that I just didn't buy into anything they were doing. I don't know, but they're 3-1. They're leading that division, and I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that's what's so great about all this is it's such a week-to-week proposition. It really is, and feelings and opinions of teams change every Monday, but so far so good for Buffalo.
And we understand there's a lot of other 3-1 teams. Maybe Denver could have gone into that conversation of surprising 3-1 teams. Trevor Siemian, quarterback questions all offseason, right? All the way up until, a couple days before training camp. Or
the start of the season.
A couple days before the start of the season, and Trevor Siemian was the guy moving forward. They probably could have gone into the conversation, but I still think my answer would have been, it might have been close with Denver. I still think my answer might have been Buffalo, though.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We're going to do something unheard of in sports radio. We're going to attempt to end today's show on a happy note. We'll also touch on any games we may have missed here. That's next on The Lowdown. My apologies if we weren't as smooth as we normally are. We take great pride in running a well-oiled machine that we screw up on a regular basis. But today was definitely different. Real life kept interfering in our fun little sports talk show. And obviously going back to the way we opened the show at 12 o'clock and then getting reports of stuff that we were told was happening across the country. It turned out not to be happening, thank goodness. And then, you know, of course, the Tom Petty stuff as well. Just a
lot of stuff going on.
Weird day.
Yeah.
Weird, a very, very weird Monday. But the good news is Sacramento Kings, and again, we'll use sports as the diversion for some of this stuff. Sacramento Kings basketball is back tonight, and it is back at the Golden 1 Center. No TV tonight, guys. There will be some preseason television games on for sure. Tonight will not be one of them. If you want to follow your Sacramento Kings, you will do that here on Sports 1140, beginning game time at 7 o'clock. And I, for one, will happily come across as the old guy, but I'm happy that game times are back at 7.
Oh, no, I think it's great, too.
I hated the 7:30. I don't know. I know it's 30 minutes. I don't know why. I just freaking hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated the 7:30 start.
I think it was a overreaction, but probably a planned thought of traffic, new arena. That has proven to be
non-issue.
A total non-issue, which I was dead wrong on that one. I'm like, oh, this is – how's this even going to work? We knew it was always tricky out at Arco and Sleep Train. People are coming in different ways, different times, different outlets. It's been fantastic.
And a lot of people, you know, a lot of where the traffic could come from, people are already down there.
They're either there, you're right, or getting there.
Hey, there's a game tonight. Let's leave work and go to dinner, and then we'll go over to the game.
And enough of the garages or parking areas are in different, it's not all one spot. And I just think people are leaving and coming and going at different times or stopping by this place afterwards or coming in earlier. You know, just there's enough of that happening that it's thinning out, and it hasn't been an issue at all, which has been great.
Yeah.
And so back to 7, which is the time they had for years.
Yeah, and I love that. And you can catch Kings Live starring your favorite and mine, Jason Ross, beginning here today at 6:30. I think we touched on just about all of them. Bill sitting at 3-1. I don't know that we mentioned, well, indirectly, I guess we did, as we talked about the Cleveland Browns. The Bengals got their first win of the season. Okay, they're good now, right?
Everything's figured out.
They scored 31 points against the Cleveland freaking Browns.
Dalton was better. That was good.
Against the Cleveland freaking Browns.
Yeah.
We touched on a little bit, Jason, you did in particular, the Jets getting a win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, the 49ers lost again. Eagles, big win for them. Giants fall to 0-4. Seattle finally put some big points on the board. Obviously, you know your Raiders lost. Detroit didn't get any love. That was an ugly game, though. That was not enjoyable by any stretch of the imagination. But here they are, 3-1. 1 second away from being 4-0.
Yeah.
Well, potentially being 4-0.
Right. And the other team that could do it is tonight, Kansas City and Washington. So that should be a good game too tonight.
I'm completely with you. So we will give you a full recap of the Monday Night Football game tonight. Oh my gosh. There's hockey on the schedule this week.
That's right. The NHL starts on Wednesday.
Holy smokes.
Everything's here. Baseball playoffs start tomorrow.
Wow.
NFL's going. The NBA started.
That's a great. Is there anything that we need to touch on regarding the one game playoff starts?
Tomorrow.
When is that?
Yankees are in. Yankees and Twins.
For the one gamer, though.
Yeah, those always make me nervous.
Well, yeah, it's a one-game playoff. Yeah.
But we get some great moments. Last year's one-game playoff with the Giants and the Mets was fantastic.
Do you think the Mets look back at that like, dude, we freaking lost to the Giants?
Probably. But then the Giants played the Cubs well. Ultimately, they were. And then that set up just a miserable year this year.
I looked up at this fantastic board we have in the studio, and I'm floored that it says color-coordinated. Yeah. The Flyers at the Sharks coming up on Wednesday.
Yep.
We have live.
What, the hockey?
We have live sports beginning every day, beginning Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Look at that Thursday nighter, Patriots and Buccaneers.
I know, early on that was when we were saying.
That was your pick.
That was my pick. Could the Patriots go undefeated? I said, nope, I know when they're losing. They're losing week 5.
They might.
Well, they've already lost twice.
They might. Yeah. Could they possibly lose a third game in 5? 2-3. The New England Patriots. The
panic.
Collective sports media would just keel over.
Tampa's good. Tampa could score. So if the Patriots haven't figured out their defense yet, well, Jameis will put up some points on them.
I thought Tampa's win yesterday was one of the more impressive ones that they've had in the during their stretch of, okay, we're going to start taking this team seriously. I thought that was really impressive. Jameis Winston has been really good this year. Really, really good. 300-plus yards yesterday. 3 touchdowns. We like to end on a happy note.
Yeah,
I forgot to tell Chris, one of the things I want to start doing is playing the Pharrell song right here because I'm happy. I feel like that would be perfect. You don't have to pull it up today.
Or you could.
We're just doing
such a good song.
It is. It's a fantastic song. And given, you know, the way today has been and all of the news that we've gotten starting last night in Las Vegas and Tom Petty and all of these different things that have happened, it's like, man, we're going to – now, we started the idea of ending the show on a happy note for far different reasons, but it seems very appropriate today. That'll be our official theme music for this final segment. And the one that I got, Jay Ross, is a little bit close to my heart personally, and we got to give love to Peyton Manning as Peyton partnered with the governor and first lady of Tennessee to help raise over $600,000 for the Pat Summitt Foundation. Peyton Manning, along with our lowdown guest from last week, Carol Lawson, are co-chairs of that honorary co-chairs of that foundation. I'm on the board of that foundation as well. Peyton
nice.
Says Pat made a tremendous impact on and off the court, and she continues to do so through the work of her foundation. I'm incredibly proud to honor her legacy by supporting the work of the Pat Summitt Foundation and the fight against Alzheimer's disease. So, Peyton, good on you, my man. That's my happy ending.
Perfect way to...
Which does not sound appropriate.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to conclude the show. Yeah. I was going to use a different term, and I was
so
like, man.
Freaking juvenile. It's ridiculous.
Because we know what Chris will do to our audio.
Chris will cut it up and make it weird and everything. But thankfully, he's not paying attention to us. So that's always a good positive. Thanks for all the texts today. All the texts, the phone calls. We got a... substantial. I didn't read a lot of the text because a lot of them were of the more serious nature. I know a lot of people get frustrated with the direction that we often take our show, but you got to remember a lot of the things that we have talked about, particularly of late in the political world, intersect directly with our sports world. What happened last night in Las Vegas, there wasn't a lot of intersection other than humanity.
Exactly.
Right? And so we made the decision a long time ago. It was well documented. We're just not going to ignore that stuff. But today we tried to kind of be that distraction, and it was hard for us because we're getting, you know, a lot of people like text and tweeted about there's something going on at USC. And we, all three of us, had it. And it was like, not yet, not yet. Chris, you got to follow this. Like, just let us know what's going on. And we're getting texts like, you guys got to say something. And it's like, nope. Nothing happened. Like there were, you know, tweets coming in. There was all sorts of, nothing happened. And then the, you know, the Tom Petty stuff came in. And so it was just a, a strange day. So we hope that we were able to provide a little bit of a distraction for you. You certainly provided one for us, so that we are greatly thankful to you for. Jay Ross, back here, 6:30, Kings Live, Kings basketball coming up at 7 o'clock. We will recap that along with Monday Night Football tomorrow at noon. Thank you so much for being with us.